I want to start off by asking you this morning, how'd you end up here this morning?
By the grace of God.
God is active in our life each and every day, and sometimes we don't know when and how it's going to manifest itself. But let me tell you how I ended up here this morning. I was supposed to be working yesterday and today. So it got canceled. The class I was supposed to be in, mandatory by the county, and said, I need you in this class. And I got canceled on Friday because FEMA didn't have the material ready for the class. So, you know, they told me to take Friday off the beginning of the week so to make sure, because I'm 24/7, I'm a salary type person, just take Friday off. So I got a 3-day weekend. And then I told Kim. And I end up, if you look at my hands, I got paint on my hands where I've been painting all weekend. But the funny thing of all this is I was getting ready to go to church at Caution Street. And was heading out the door when Alan Manning called me. Alan Manning says, I need your assistance if you can do it. And I go, what's that? He said, Edge Hill, I was supposed to have a preacher there this morning, but just called me and not going to be able to make it. Will you be able to go? I said, thought about it for a second. I said, yes, absolutely. You know, I walk back into the house. I pull out my binder. I pick out my sermon. I haven't even looked at it. So we're going to have a little talk about God this morning. And I could have said, no, I'm not prepared, I'm not ready, I'm not waiting. But the lesson started coming to my head. The Lord started speaking to me already. The Lord calls, what are we supposed to say? Here am I. If we rely on ourselves, we're not going to be successful in life. But you know, there's opportunities that it brought me to this moment, but I think there's opportunities throughout the week that we face that we've had probably in those moments where did we say, here am I, or did we just walk on? So this lesson to you this morning, I usually tell you, is to everybody in here, but I think it's to me this morning. Because I don't know what we're all going to talk about, but I know the good Lord's got it. And I know the lesson we're going to learn this morning will be from Him. So it's not a sermon this morning, it's more of a talk. We're going to let God lead this sermon. Because you know what He's already done? He's led this service already. Because I listen to the songs we sing. Soldiers of Christ, arise. Stand up for Jesus. All that we talked about, bow down. And I did have a chance to skim through it, and I'm going, whoa. He's already in action. So we're going to, I don't know if this is a 10-minute sermon. I don't know if it's a 2-hour sermon. So I really can't tell you this morning, but we're going to speak from God's word this morning. Title of the lesson is Walking with God. You know, Rush used to say in the cool of the evening of the day how Adam and Eve had that walk with God. Are we able to have that? Absolutely. But how do we achieve that? How do we achieve to have that walk with God? You know, one of the slides I had from the sermons I had, I know it ain't going to be the same sermon because usually I have time to think about it and process through and get my thoughts together what I want. But it has this picture here, and I know y'all can't see it from there, and I can't put it through the slide. It's a firefighter and a son walking right beside him. As a little firefighter. You know, I've been thinking about that picture when I saw it, and I go, yes, I'm a firefighter, a retired firefighter, and my son's a retired firefighter. But I'm looking at that picture and seeing that little son walking with the father and becoming just like his dad. And I was thinking about it, wait a minute, I can put this in perspective. Those moments, how proud am I am of my son? Following in my footsteps, how proud each and every day that he goes to work to be a firefighter. That's what it's all about. As Christians, we should be making our Father proud. And I thought about it, yeah, well, that's what we need to do, but I thought about putting the Father's perspective. Look at God's perspective on this. How proud and how excited he is about each and every one of us when we do the right thing. When we follow after his footsteps. How excited he gets and how rejoicing. Because I know as little as a father how much of rejoicing I have when Christopher does those things. How much more does God do that about us? To make him proud walking in his steps. And 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 12. And I'll give you a little, I haven't read all these, so if I stumble through them a little bit, my dyslexia kicks in, just bear with me a little bit. But in 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 12 tells us this. Walk in a manner worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. Let's walk in a manner worthy of God. That says a lot right there. But when I glanced over earlier, just out in the parking lot out here, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. We got to really put that to perspective. He called us to be a part of him. He calls us to receive his glory and his kingdom. He's come after us. And what we get out of it is no comparison to what we put into it. We can spend our whole life trying to pay for this glory or pay for this kingdom. We'll never get there. So this is absolutely a gift to us. But sometimes I don't think as we take it as how much it's worth, how big of a gift this truly is to us. Sometimes we don't take that into mind. So how do we walk with God? We talked about following God's footsteps. But God sent us down an example named Jesus Christ, his only begotten son he sent down on this earth to us to lead us in that example. He showed us the way. You know, I'm getting ready to do a series on August 1st in Cawson Street in Sunday school. I'm going to do the Sermon on the Mountain. And the perspective, I gave you all the lesson about the wise and foolish man not too long ago about building your house on the rock, the wise man. And he says, follow after my words, and that will make you a wise man. So we went back a few verses. What is he talking about? But that just led me into the whole series. So we're going to start, just like we did on that Sunday, is going to go back to chapter 7, the end of the chapter, where Jesus talks about the wise and the foolish man. And then what we're going to do, we're going to go all the way back to Matthew chapter 5. And start seeing what example do we need to follow. But this morning I want to talk to you an example about Christ himself. One of the biggest things you'll see throughout the New Testament about Christ that we sometimes lack, he moved with compassion. He was compassionate about his Father's work. And everything that he did, he moved with compassion. Matthew chapter 14, verse 14 says this. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion towards them, and he healed their sins. When he looked over the crowd, he had compassion. He saw something in those people. He sees something in us. What value can you see on something like me? I won't put y'all in the boat, but I'll put myself in the boat. If I look at my life, and the phrase I use all the time, and y'all heard it before, I'm highly blessed and highly favored despite myself. What does God see in me that has that much value? But Jesus, when he looked over the multitude, was moved and saw and with compassion towards them. Another example we can see When Jesus landed and he saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. He saw the need in us. He saw that we were lost without him. Some people today, you look in the world, we were just talking about it in Sunday school, and the way this world's getting further and further away from God, there's not much compassion out there anymore. There's not much mercy in this world today. In every aspect of, throughout all the world, you were talking about a government getting further away, stuff like that, there's very little compassion. There's a lot of hate and anger. And there's, back in that time, it was no different. Jesus saw these people that needed help, and he had compassion towards them. I wanted to go back and look more detail on the verse that I'm bringing back up, but it just struck me. So I don't really have the background behind it, but it's more what like our Lord each and every day. Luke chapter 7, verse 13 says this. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said, "Don't cry." The Lord cares how we feel in life. He cares about us. He has a personal relationship. We were just talking about it in the Lord's Supper. When Christ was on the cross, he had us in his mind. Literally had each and every one of our names in his mind. Well before we were born, he was concerned about us. The compassion and the love he had for us. Another example we can talk about this morning is Matthew chapter 20, verse 34. Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. Immediately they received the sight and followed him. Jesus went around not only providing, we can go through scriptures where he made sure people were fed. Remember the story of the 5,000? He was worried about it. The disciples were saying, "Go, send them off on the way. Let them worry about themselves." Not Jesus. Jesus said, "Nope, they're not going to go away from here hungry." When somebody was sick and ill, the man at the on the waterside was there for how many years? No telling. People passed by that person each and every day. "Oh, let me step around." What did Jesus do? Jesus took care of his needs. Made sure he was able to see or walk or hear. Or leopard, got rid of the leopard. Remember the ten leopards? Only one came back and praised him for that. That's the world we live in. Accept it or not, that's the world we live in. How about the woman at the well in John chapter 4? You can read verses 1 through 42. We won't read through all that. But what about that story about the woman at the well? The woman said, told Jesus, "You shouldn't have anything to do with me. Why are you talking to me? Not only am I not the right person to talk to, but if you knew me, you wouldn't talk to me." And Jesus says, "I know all your sins. I know all the men you've been with and why you're out of the well all by yourself in the heat of the day. And I'm still here." He had compassion for that woman at the well. So much that woman got excited and said, "Stay here. I'm going to go back to the town and bring everybody back because they need to hear you. There's something different about you that they need to hear what you have to say." So that's what she did. But it started with that conversation Jesus had about the living water. "Why ask me for water?" is pretty much what she said. "We shouldn't even be talking." And Jesus told him, "I'll tell you about water that you'll never get thirsty again." Oh, what a draw that in was for her. To be a part of something like that. That she, as knowing, think about that story for a minute. It's just hitting me. You're talking about somebody that's being at the well by themselves for a reason, because none of the other women, none of the other people in the town would have anything to do with her. But she had enough excitement in her, she didn't care anymore. She ran back and told that whole town, you need to come hear this man. There was no fear, there was no hesitation. All that was wiped away because of the story that Jesus had. It didn't hit me till I've read that story I don't know how many times in my life. Putting myself in her shoes, running back to a town that does not have anything to do with her, that makes her go to the well at the heat of the day and get her own water. But she's got rid of all that to tell that town, you need to come hear what Jesus has to say. That's powerful within itself when you think about it. Because we talk about Jesus, there's no conditions to his love. It's unconditional. How do I know that? Because while I was yet a sinner, he died for me. He didn't wait till I got my act together, because I still ain't got my act together. He didn't wait till that day occurred. He was willing to die for me before then. And I can tell you, today's age and time, there's conditions to love. I see it all the time where people say, well, if you don't meet my standards, I don't need to have any parts of you. I go, what? That's not how love works. You seen that commercial I don't remember what it was, Verizon commercial or whatever, when they, ladies were drawing stuff on the board like they were Facebooking, and one lady on the side saying, that's not how that works. Brothers and sisters, unconditional love has no condition. True love has no condition. So if you put somebody and say, if you don't meet my standard, I hear that all the time, especially with a new generation coming up. If you don't meet my standard, then I don't need to have anything to do with you. That's not how it works. And that's where it's hard, because we got to forgive people when we don't want to. We got to help people when it's inconvenient. Now, somebody's in need doesn't fall on our time, it falls on God's time. So we are going to be inconvenienced. We are going to do things that we don't want to do. But it's not our time. It's God's time. When did God die for us? When we needed it. So we need to realize God's love is unconditional. So listen to this in 1 John 4:7-8. And this is 1 John 4:7-8. Let us love one another, for love comes from what? Comes from God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. And he has given us this commandment. Whoever loves God must also love his brother. You know, in the word brother here, mankind. Covers everybody. It's not because me and Wesley are brothers over here. I ain't got to worry about the rest of y'all. I just got to love my brother. That's not how it works. It don't work that way, as we talked about before. But look at what it's saying. Let us love one another, for love comes from God. Whoever does not love does not know God. You want to walk with God? That example that Jesus gave, it's all on how you love one another. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's how we treat others that makes the difference. If we can't have compassion for those who are in need and those who are lost, we're not walking with God. And we have, brothers and sisters, we have all the opportunities out there in this world. We've got plenty of people who don't like loving, but we can love them. We have opportunities throughout our weeks, throughout days, that we're passing people in need. And well, they're going to say, why did you do that for me? I did it for God. You don't have to tell them that. You just do it, and the good Lord will set the fruits that come from that. You don't have to tell nobody. You don't have to, don't go around telling them, well, look what I did, that you took away the fruits from God. Just do it. Make a difference in people's lives. In 1 John 4, 9 through 11, go back a little bit further. We were just reading. Let's read a little bit further. By this, God's love was revealed in us. God's love revealed in us? That's an amazing story within itself. That God has sent His one and only Son into the world that He might live through Him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son, an anointed sacrifice for our sins. Beloved is God, loveth us in the way we also ought to love one another. If we love people the way God loves us, we'd be doing a whole lot more sacrificing. We'd be taking more time out of our day. We'd be looking for more opportunities. We'd be looking for those opportunities. You know why I say that? Because God chased after us. He went to save us before we even thought about Him. God's love moved towards us. He died on the cross while we were yet sinners. If we have that mentality towards everybody else around us, we're going to be out knocking on doors looking for opportunities. We're just not going to live our daily life. We're not going to go to work, come home, eat our dinner, watch our shows, go to bed, get up, go to work, come home, eat our dinner. We're going to look for those opportunities when we get up. Is there somebody in need as we're going to work? When we get to work, is there something extra that I can do to make somebody's day a little bit brighter and better? When we're on our way home, we're at the store, we're going to look for those opportunities to jump in and make a difference. Then when we get home, we're going to say, hey, maybe should I check on a brother and sister who hasn't been doing very well before I sit down and eat my dinner, before I watch my shows, before I think about myself, am I thinking about somebody else? Now, that's hurting my toes. I don't know about y'all's, but that's hurting my toes this morning, because am I missing those opportunities? Because God sent His Son down here, and His whole life was about sacrifice towards us. Wesley talked about it this morning. You see Jesus, looking at Jesus, you couldn't tell that with Jesus until He was in action. He looked just like anybody else. He didn't have fancy clothes. He didn't stick out and walk like, yeah, I'm Jesus. He walked with humble hearts and took care of people's needs. You want to walk with God? Follow that example of Jesus. It will lead you in a direction that you have never been before. 1 John 4, we continue on in verse 16, says, and so we know and rely on the love of God. Hold on. We know and rely. I like that. If you rely on God's love and you want to walk with Him and say, I don't worry about anything else, I'm going to rely on God. I'm not going to rely on myself. I'm not going to rely on anybody else. I'm going to rely on what God provides for me. What a perspective. When we rely on God and when we give, it's not us giving, it's His anyway. We rely on Him when the way we give. We rely on Him on how we handle problems with our family members or our co-workers and stuff. I ain't going to worry about this situation. I'm going to rely on God to handle this situation. It's totally different than what we normally would do. The love of God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in him. There's your answer right there. Whoever lives in love lives in God. Our whole life should be have a totally different perspective on this world. We ought to realize those out there are lost and they need us. They need God to work through us. But let me tell you something about God. But a lot of y'all probably already know, God doesn't work through you unless you let Him. We're talking about being in the Lord's army, right? There's no draft in the Lord's army. He's not going to come and draft you to become a part of his army and become a part. It's a volunteer army. So when you talk about, when you read how difficult things are, how hard things are, you want that prize at the end, but you need to understand one thing, brothers and sisters. You volunteered for this. He didn't come draft you and make you be a part of the of his work. So act like it. We need to act like we volunteered to be a part of this. There's joy in being a part of this, even with the sacrifice, even with the struggles. Just remember, the Lord didn't draft you. And he didn't hold anything back. He told you well ahead before you ever joined what to expect. Now we get back to the verse was read earlier. In 1 John 3:16 and 18. This is how we know what love is. Jesus laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our life for our brothers. Remember, brothers, we're not just talking about me and Wesley over here and leaving the rest of you out. We're talking about everybody. Your mentality changes, the way you think, the way you process. You will be willing to die for anybody out there who's willing to be a part of with the Lord. We ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. Verse 17. If anyone has material possessions and see his brother in need, but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or with tongue, but with action and in truth. We can say we're Christians all day long. We can say that we're standing for the Lord all day long. Words don't mean anything without action. So all I want to do this morning to you through this sermon is encourage you to be a Christian of action. Loving everybody around you, looking for opportunities throughout this week coming up. See how you can make a difference in people's lives. It may be within your own family, it may be a coworker, it may be a total stranger at a food line. It may be a situation that you never expected, because let me tell you, I had one this week, and I won't go into details, but a situation came up that I never expected. Never miss those opportunities. And it could have been opportunities we could easily say, nah, I'm a little busy right now, I can't do that right now. But I learned this morning, the Lord wants you to do something, he gonna put it in action for it to do it. There's no doubt in my mind who's in control. So don't shut the door on the Lord this week. Keep your door open and look. Make sure your windows are wide open so you can see what's going on, so you can be that Christian, that good Lord has your hand. He's looking down at you. Yeah, that's my son. Because when you do stuff like that, that's what the good Lord does. He goes, that's my son. He's doing good. Not going to be easy, because we all raise kids. Most of us, and I can tell you, that's not an easy process. I can only imagine what it is, the good Lord had to do to try to raise me and keep me straight. I'm still in progress. He's still working on me. And to realize, but every time I'm able to catch that glimpse where I do what God wants and show the love and mercy that I'm supposed to, now it's in my head, he's walking with me saying, nah, that's my son right there. That's what we want. You know, brothers and sisters, I don't know what your struggles are today. We all have them. But you ain't got to be by yourself, because the good Lord put us in a family. So we don't have to go through this world by ourselves. We don't have to struggle through these things by ourselves. I don't know if what illnesses are facing you. I know my illnesses. I don't know what struggles you're facing through, but I know my struggles. But what I want to say this morning, you ain't got to do it by yourself. We have this whole congregation right here that'll be willing to pray for you. Because we're told in Scripture, the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And there's a lot of good people in this church building right here. A lot of good can come from prayer. If you like me, I'll take everyone I can get. And so if there's anything we can do for you, please come down here. But let me ask you this too, because there's a couple new faces in here. I want to make sure I cover what the good Lord wants. You know, to be a part of this family, it's a volunteer. It takes a step. Yeah, first of all, you got to confess that Christ Jesus is the Son of God. Then you got to be baptized and wash all those sins away and be buried like Christ was buried and be raised again. And if you want to know those scriptures, come see me afterwards and we'll lay them all out for you so you have a good understanding of it. Once you have been baptized and raised from then, all your sins are washed away, guess what? It's just begun. Now you need to start living that Christian life that we were just talking about. But none of that is done. You have to do by yourself. So if you're not a Christian, I encourage you today, because we don't know what tomorrow brings. You know, I see all these wildfires and wars and rumors of wars, and I'm going, man, it awful look like a close. That time may be coming. But I'm not guaranteed to be able to make it home today. Like Russ says, there's no walls between those yellow lines. There ain't nothing stopping somebody from crossing those yellow lines and taking me out today. Like, it would hurt my feelings. I'm not going anywhere till the Lord tells me, but I know what we have to look forward to. But we don't know. You got to be right. If you ain't right, then you're not volunteering to be a part of God's army. So I don't know if you're not a Christian. I don't know if you are a Christian in need. It doesn't matter. Whatever your need is, we can make it happen today. So if there's anything that we can do for you, why don't you come now as we stand and sing.